This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Amazon Cloud Cam.
Dudes, you can check up on your home while you're, like, out of town for a while. I had a friend show me this over Christmas, actually.
There's, like, a camera that connects to Amazon via Alexa and Amazon Fire TV and all that stuff.
And you can use it to, I mean, if you're going out of town for a while, that's what my friend had. He was like, look, we can see what's happening in my apartment in L.A. right now.
I could talk to Shelby if I wanted to through Amazon Cloud Cam. I could be like, Shelby, over here. Shelby.
Or if you turn it on, see an intruder, you can be like, get the fuck out of my house. And they'll be like, they'll either think you're actually there or they'll be like, there's a fucking ghost here. I'm not going to rob this house.
Or you could play like, you know, Slayer or something or Gwar and freak them out like really crazy loud music.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they could make it so it could also play Gwar and throw slime like they do at the concerts.
That would scare anybody. So you just go to boardwalkaudio.com/cloudcam.
That's boardwalkaudio.com/cloudcam. You get free 30 days.
Yeah, you get a free 30-day trial. So I think it's just a free camera, and you just pay monthly as a subscription. But this is just free for 30 days.
Yeah, with that deal. I just realized how hard it is to say free 30 days fast.
Free 30 days.
Free
30 days.
Anyway, get your cloud cam
so you can have a safe home,
so your dogs can be happy. It's good.
All right. Enjoy the show.
Bye.
I just drink wine. Welcome to the wine situation.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, Ellen.
Hello, Sean.
Happy Thursday, guys. Record on a Thursday.
Just so you know. So that you can listen on a Thursday, don't do that. Listen on Tuesday, the minute it comes out. And listen again on Thursday.
There you go.
And drink wine both times.
We're at the lovely UCB Sunset where we do the wine situation.
Where we pair your winey wines.
With your drinking wines.
That's Sean Buchholz, the wine whisperer.
And that's Ellen Clifford, the Mademoiselle de Palate.
Oui, oui.
C'est bien.
Très bien.
Très bien.
J'ai de l'or. We're so
Mon petit chou. Remember that? Mon petit chou? That's my little cabbage.
Oh, yeah.
That's a French thing.
Wait, isn't a chou-fleur a cauliflower?
Sure.
Ma petite chou-fleur.
The fleur de the cell.
Sprinkled with that. Besides just talking French nonsense.
Oh, it's my favorite thing to do.
You're good at it.
Faking it.
Sean helped up in Barcovel. He worked with Greg Condas. He has an intro guild psalm pin, so he's qualified.
Speaking of the intro guild psalm pin, you have one of those too.
I do.
You also have a couple W sets.
I do. So you guys are in good hands.
Yes.
We're going to guide you through this experience.
Guide you through. We're going to hopefully.
We can talk.
Shine some light on some new wine things for you.
Should we get into our first little educational segment?
Let's do it.
Grape of Thrones!
We did it.
Yes!
Just Grape of Thrones, guys.
Grape of Thrones.
It's been completely rebranded now. It's no longer Grape of the Week. It's just Grape of Thrones.
It's only Grape of the Week in parentheses.
That's right.
Yeah. But mainly it's Grape of Thrones. This week we have Zinfandel.
Zinfandel, guys.
I have so many fascinating facts about it.
You know, Zinfandel's kind of known as kind of like the group hug of wines.
That's right. Remember? I believe Greg Condas
said that.
It's the group hug of wines.
It's a really, if you don't know what to get, just get a Zinfandel.
Yeah, it's delicious. Apparently, it has some sketchy history. Apparently, originally.
Very sketchy history.
Originally, Agustin Horathsi, the father of California wine, was credited with bringing it. But then wine historian Charles L. Sullivan said, no evidence of that. It was probably brought from a nursery in Vienna by George Gibbs of Long Island in 1829. So that's what...
George Gibbs. That's crazy. So I guess it was then Primitivo.
They brought it from
a nursery. From Italy.
But I don't think they realized. No, it came in Vienna, which is Austria.
Oh, Austria, right.
Yeah.
I was thinking of.
They probably didn't know what they had. Yeah. They're just like, here's some vines. Let's plant them.
Wasn't that part of Italy at one point?
This is tasty.
I'm just kidding.
Maybe. No, I have no idea. It's also. Related to the Croatian variety that I don't know how to pronounce because it's like CRLJ, Kraljenac Kastelanski.
Sure.
Also related to Primitivo, which grows mostly in Puglia.
Puglia.
And then it became sort of villainized in the 70s and 80s when people drank a lot of white Zin, which is a pink drink that's a little sweet and not...
Pink drink.
A pink drink. I mean, I love a pink drink.
It's like Sunny D, Purple Stuff, and Pink Drink.
Yeah. Those are the three food groups.
That's it. That's all you need, guys.
Thin-skinned, jammy, brambly, raisins, figs, black pepper. Sometimes they use oak. Mm-hmm. High-ass alcohol.
High-ass alcohol, blackberry, boysenberry.
Now mostly in Sonoma, actually. I believe our guest today is from one area. My favorite area, the Dry Creek Valley, is my favorite place to get it from.
Oh, interesting. We'll have to get into that because that's where I'm from, too.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. That's Zinfandel, guys.
Zinfandel, your grape of throats. Time for our guest.
That was a dragon at the end. Did you hear the dragon?
I did. I like
it. Yeah, it was a dragon noise.
By the time like we've done this five more of these, it's going to be like 5 minutes of music and sound effects.
That's right.
Our guest today, I met doing musical improv. He is one of the most amazing musical improv people I've seen perform, and he raps amazingly. I was on a mod team, but I hear he quit. We're going to ask him about that. He's told stories on This American Life. He wrote and produced a show called The HOA with Sherry O'Terry. Please welcome Zora Bikangaga.
Hey. How's it going?
Good. How are you? Welcome.
Thank you.
You're from Healdsburg, yeah?
Yes.
You're from Healdsburg.
I am.
I'm from Santa Rosa.
Oh.
I went to high school in Santa Rosa.
Oh my God. It all makes sense.
It does make sense.
You know what? It makes sense.
Oh, wait. And I heard your This American Life thing, too.
Yeah.
The Healdsburg.
Yes.
Yeah, because you did the impersonation thing.
I did. But I also talked about Sonoma County for the first act of the act, because it's broken in three. But yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So wait, you're from Santa Rosa?
Santa Rosa.
Oh, man. I should.
Santa Rosa High.
You went to Santa Rosa?
Yeah, I did. Panthers. 98, guys. 98. I'm old.
Oh, man. All
you're
right.
Not 98.
Okay. I was like, oh, man, there's a familiar vibe. And I'm like, okay, it makes sense.
It's like hometown roots.
Hometown roots here.
Yeah,
guys.
Hometown roots.
That makes sense.
That's crazy. So do you remember when Scream threw shade?
Yeah, that was my friend Matt Zills' mom. She was the president of the PTA that like overthrew the Scream and like brought it down.
Ugh, man.
Yeah. Like they were like mid-shooting of the movie Scream, and they made them stop.
But you know what? That is so Santa Rosa and so Sonoma County, because they're just... Don't get me started.
I know, we can
they're
get
just
started.
Sort of like, I am from... I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
If you're making a movie, but here in Sonoma County, okay? we live in Santa Rosa. They have like this crazy entitlement.
And also,
anyway, don't get me started.
We're not going to expand the freeway. We're just going to keep it two lanes each way, guys, because that's all you need.
I now know how you felt, Sean, when we were recording the Johnny Meeks episode, and it was just all St. Louis.
Yep. Yeah. Oh no, like, we could go for it.
No, I love it. I like learning about new. But you grew up next to like one of my favorite California wine, or in my favorite California wine region.
The Dry Creek. That's like my. I mean, as much as you know, I sort of talk about Sonoma County. You know, my experience there. I really do love. The place aesthetically and Dry Creek Valley is like my happy place.
It's
beautiful. I love it.
I don't think I've ever actually gone.
It's gorgeous. Get up there. Yeah.
Well, so we can get into our drinky wine. Yeah, do you want to tell us about your whiny wine?
Yeah, my whiny wine. We're going to just like get into the whiny wine.
Yeah.
Just get into the whiny wine just so we can, you know, pair it up.
Then we'll feel validated in opening our drinky wine.
Sure. Yeah, so as far as stuff that I would probably whine about would be manners. You know, people that don't sort of show manners or, you know, maybe it was, I don't know, like the way they're raised, but just like little things that I think sort of show courtesy to other people that the older I get, the more I'm annoyed by. And I don't know, maybe it came from growing up in Sonoma County. I don't know.
I'm going to say yes to that. I know
you've been filming a Hollywood blockbuster horror movie in our high school, but we don't feel like you've honored our whatever sort
actually,
of grant that they had.
Actually, they kind of like, you know, messed up on their manners, I would say, because they said that they could shoot there.
Uh-huh.
And then once they realized what the movie was about and that there was like a horror theme to it, they sort of like rescinded their invitation.
That's what I mean. Mm. That's what I mean. Exactly. Like that's
not very mannered.
No, not at all. I'm not saying that the Scream people had bad manners. I'm saying that the Sonoma County people did.
Yeah, Sonoma County people had bad manners.
But anyway, just like, for instance, you know, I know in LA and in California, there aren't a lot of elevators, and people don't necessarily enter elevators often.
I must drop the bottle.
I think I know what you're going to say, and I am probably guilty of it, but go ahead.
Yeah, but sort of like the etiquette is whenever you're getting in an elevator, you let the people off
right.
that are there first.
I mean, it just makes logical sense.
It makes logical sense.
Yeah.
And to me, it is so disrespectful. If I'm in an elevator, it gets to my floor and the door opens, and before I'm able to walk out, somebody walks in the elevator.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I frequently have to stop myself because it'll open and I'll be, well, in my building, it's like, I don't know, people just aren't around a lot. It's rare when the elevator opens and there is, and I see other people in my building do the same thing. It's always like the elevator's open and whoever's outside is used to just like barreling in. And it's always like, okay. But usually people are good about stopping themselves, but I'm so guilty. I'm so guilty of being ready to just like,
And I'm saying this I'm prefacing this in saying, in no way am I attacking anybody that has
it annoys me about myself that I do that. So.
But in my building, there are three floors. And so, especially like, cause I had knee surgery. So I'm like, taken the elevator. Yeah. But, people have just, like, I'll see it happen where, like, the door will open and I'm looking and I'm like, this person does not realize that there's another human being in front of them.
Yeah.
And I can see it coming and they're going to walk towards me and I'm like, okay, this person's going to run into me. So I'll just wait there.
Yeah.
let them hit you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and I'm like, and maybe it's just sort of a thing of not being aware of people's surroundings I don't understand, because when I'm at the elevator, I wait for it to open. I'm like, is there gonna be someone in there? Like, I'm looking at that. But that's me.
You are a person with good manners.
No, but I think that's part of it, is that people don't recognize and see other people.
Yeah.
Especially like when you're walking down the street on the sidewalk and there's like three people in front of you.
So that's,
and you, and then no one moves, and you just, I've like walked into people many times. I'm like, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. You guys, one of you has to move. Yeah. There's nowhere to go.
For sure. That's like the next thing that's attached to me whining about elevator etiquette, is just the general kind of lack of awareness of other people as one is moving through any kind of public space. And it's a lot worse in New York. I mean, they're pretty bad about that.
Oh, they just plow through you.
Yeah. But, and, you know, part of it maybe is just the fact that, like, I grew up in another culture. Are we?
Oh, yeah. Well,
let's cheers first.
Okay. We can cheers and
trying to find a nice segue.
to explain.
Ellen was trying to cheers. And
cheers.
I was like, pulling right. Cheers.
Yeah. So what is this, by the way?
Well, we wanted to get something from somewhere where manners and decorum are of utmost importance. So, it's a growing thing that they're making really lovely sparkling wines in England. So we sought out a British sparkling wine for you.
Okay.
Yeah, this is from
English.
This is from West Sussex.
This is Whiston, South Downs. Yeah, well, global warming's happening, basically, is what's going on. And they have these lovely limestone soils and these cliff edges that really just resemble Champagne, basically. And because now it's, like, warm enough up there, there's a growing sparkling wine making tradition happening.
Because of global warming.
Yeah, they can manage to
duplicate the growing conditions of, like, Champagne. France.
And, interesting.
Yeah, this is made with traditional Champagne varieties. There's Pinot Noir, there's Pinot Meunier, there's Chardonnay.
Okay.
Aged in barrel, 6 to 7 year old Burgundian barrels. I appreciated that on the back of it, like, oh, they must do some hand labeling, because someone wrote in the date it was disgorged and the dosage level on it.
Whoa, look at that.
Yeah.
Did they write the date in the British way, which is backwards.
Oh, no.
No, they didn't.
Or it just has the month and the year.
So like, yeah, the distributor did, like, maybe like
possibly
when...
disgorged on 9/17.
Well, is the only thing they do backwards the month and the date, or do the year go in a different place too?
They flip the month and the date.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, this one just has the month and the year. I assume that's what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's gotta be.
I could be wrong, but for anyone that's Googling that, but I'm pretty sure.
Stop Googling, guys.
I mean, but I'm pretty sure.
Put the Googling device down and listen to the show.
Drink the damn wine.
Yeah. Drink the wine. This is delicious. I'm getting like those bready notes for sure.
Yeah, I mean, let me see.
I'm not saying Brett. I'm saying bread.
Let me consult my notes.
For all you wine nerds out there.
47% Pinot Noir, 30% Chardonnay, 20% Pinot Meunier. The family that owns Whiston Estate, the Goring family, who I went to their website and watched the videos of this family. They're adorable.
They are adorable. I watch those too.
Yeah. I was kind of in love with the whole family.
I know. I want to go.
It's a new wine family, right?
They planted in 2006, they said, their first
that's
pretty new.
It's pretty new, yeah. That's pretty new.
But apparently the land has been farmed for 250 years.
Oh, yeah.
So they're like...
they're new on the grapes, I think.
So they've been herding sheep since...
Probably
sheep,
like
yeah.
The 19th century. And
potatoes. I don't know. What do you grow in the south of England?
I feel like
England.
They're like... They have the hills with sheep.
Yeah, a lot of sheep. I think that's everywhere in the UK.
Yeah, exactly.
Just cheap everywhere.
It's cold.
Oh, and their winemaker worked at Leoville Barton, which is a second growth in Bordeaux before he came over to work for them. So their winemaker has quite a pedigree.
Yeah.
So yeah, this family knows their shit.
Yeah, I'm sure they came in.
Shout out, Goring family.
Yeah, I'm sure they
shout
came
out.
In. Yeah, shout out. Good on you guys. Good on you for making good wine.
I'm going to visit you guys. You guys are so cute. They're such a happy, like, passionate about wine family.
That is great.
Well, they have, like, identical soil to Champagne. So they get, like, that chalky limestone soil, like that white soil, which is, like, really hard to find.
So the soil is the same, but then the weather is the thing that is able to sustain the grapes.
Yeah, I mean, they can barely... grow grapes in Champagne. That's part of why it's so expensive, is like the land is so brutal and hard to farm and cold.
Yeah.
And England was even colder than that.
Sure.
And now it's starting to heat up enough that they're managing to knock out some grapes.
Yeah, actually the vines in Champagne are like in like little bushes close to the ground to keep them warm in the winter.
Okay.
So like they're like these little like nubs.
And to shield them from the mistral.
Yeah.
Wow. That vicious wind.
That vicious mistral.
That's the name of a wind in France we were just talking about.
It's called minstrel?
No. Mistral.
Yeah.
It's
called the jester. I'm going to knock your grapes down.
M-I-S-T-R-A-L. Mistral is the name
mistral.
Of that.
Okay. That's mistral. Good because hopefully it's not minstrel.
Hopefully it's not the minstrel wind.
I'm thinking minstrel too.
I'd hate to see that label.
That's when Mother Nature has the bad time of the month and the minstrel wind.
Oh, you want that?
Over. Oh, you want that word?
That's what
I was thinking. That.
I see. Oh,
I was thinking like minstrel, like a minstrel show.
Oh, shit. No, that would also be equally not good.
Right, but minstrels, yeah.
I'm female. That's where my mind went. So.
All good. I'm black, so I thought.
Oh, shit.
Minstrel show.
No. Oh, yeah. That would be really bad. I feel like they would rename the wind at that point.
Yeah.
Would they?
I don't know. They're French.
I mean, the Cleveland Indians are still the Cleveland Indians, guys.
We call it the thing. You know?
is that your French English person?
What's we call it the thing?
How do you say? I don't know.
Yeah.
No, we make fun of French people all the time on this show. It's okay.
I have relatives in France. I can make fun of them.
I have relatives in England, so I can make fun of the Brits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
I don't have any relatives anywhere, so I'm not going
to
say.
Well, let's fire shot to Sonoma County.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay. Well, you and your Cabernet Sauvignon and your Pinot Noir and Chardonnay.
Yeah.
How dare you?
How dare you?
Do you have
Francis Ford Coppola in that winery you bought?
Yeah.
You know, my first job was at Chateau Souverain. Souverain, but they pronounce it Souverain. Do you know Chateau Souverain?
I don't. Where is
that? If I'm thinking correctly, I have a bottle. They did like a thing. That might be the chateau that sent me. They're doing a holiday wine thing where you people could personalize bottles like chateau plus your name. Mm-hmm. And I have this Chateau Clifford that I think was Chateau Souverain, like Souverain. Let me find a picture of this.
It's probably that.
I think so. Yeah, I'm familiar in that I have a bottle of wine from them.
It was in Geyserville, which is just north of Healdsburg, but it was in this like gorgeous piece of property, and the actual winery, they built it into this like French chateau. Gorgeous. And I think they moved somewhere else, and Francis Ford Coppola bought that property because it's just one of the most beautiful pieces of land on Earth, on planet Earth.
Oh, wow.
But I think Chateau Souverain still exists somewhere, but it's crazy because when I grew up, I left Healdsburg in 2001 and never looked back far as like moving out. But a lot of the wineries that were around when I grew up have sort of changed names or, you know, a lot of these new kind of cheeky wineries have moved in. And so although I know the type of wine that's there, I don't necessarily know a lot of the particular wineries other than like, you know, Murphy Good that, you know, is still up there that like I knew Murphy, you know, the guy Murphy.
Wow.
Or
did you know Kokomo? That's another one I had tried that I was a fan of.
Kokomo.
K-O-K-O.
Is it by the Beach Boys?
Beach Boys, yeah.
Is that a Beach Boys song?
You get there fast, but then you take it slow.
Yeah, it's because that's
where you want to go.
Yeah, that's where they want to go.
I mean, I'll drink their wines.
Way down in Kokomo.
Wait, so you worked at Chateau Souverain?
Yeah, that was like one of my first jobs. I was a busser for their like fancy restaurant at the winery, and it's crazy because I was like, yeah, it's a busser, blah blah. And I was kind of spoiled because when I got to college, I was like, oh yeah, like I'll be a busser at a restaurant. Like I can make $150 a night. Like it was stupid how much one can make as a busser there. But I also kind of hated it because it was the stuffiest place on earth.
Oh.
Yeah, I imagine the clientele can be a little trying.
The clientele actually weren't bad. It was the people that worked there, and like the servers and stuff. They felt like they were working. It was like the White House. Was basically the sort of level of importance and stakes that they put on this restaurant that's not even there anymore. Like Francis Ford Coppola like turned that into a museum of Godfather artifacts.
Oh wow.
Oh gosh.
Basically.
All right.
So
hilarious.
Yeah.
Healdsburg is like the place now. Everyone wants to go to Healdsburg. That's like the number one. It's like the new cool spot up there.
Are your folks still back there?
No. No. We moved as soon as I graduated. My mom moved to San Francisco proper. And so, yeah, like my dad like lives like north of Healdsburg, and he stayed there forever. So he lives like near like Mendocino.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
A little north of.
Yeah. Where a lot of like those like microbrews.
Oh. There. I'm not familiar with the microbrews. Sean like probably is.
Anderson Valley kind of stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A little bit around there. But I mean, I'll still go to visit. One of my like really good friends who I still sort of keep in contact with, and I'm still like cool with his family. I'll go there and just hang out, and they have the best sticky buns.
Ooh.
In Healdsburg in the plaza.
Oh, ooh. Yeah.
Probably like on planet Earth, another planet Earth thing that is the best up
the
there.
The only place.
Yeah.
Sticky but bun, like the thing that they bake upside down. There's the sauce and then there's the nuts on top. And
you mean like a cinnamon?
Like a cinnamon
Cinnabun?
Bun, but like with the sticky stuff.
At the airport?
It's like a, well, not, it's not like as soft and sort of gooey is like a Cinnabon. But it's, you're right. It is sort of like sticky, but the reason why these ones are so good is it's like a perfect mixture of like just a little bit of stickiness, mm-hmm. but it's like flaky and crunchy, and it's perfect. It's like a perfect pastry. You know what I mean? It's hard. It's soft. It's warm. It's all of the things.
Yum.
Balanced pastry.
Yeah.
I mean, that does make the best things, or people talk about that in wine constantly, like the balance. So yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It works in pastry too. I feel that way about like pie, most baked goods.
And you got to be so precise with pastry. So I don't know how they do it. I think it's got to be the same person that's still making those. And I think they just, because when I was a kid, the place was like tiny. And I went there like a couple years ago, and, you know, they had expanded. You know, the place is huge. And so I think, yeah, it just
so it's your friend's family. They own a bakery, or it's just the bakeries there?
Just the bakeries there. Like, I'll go there when I visit my friend's family. But yeah.
What's the name of the bakery?
It's called Healdsburg Bakery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There you go. It's
easy to remember. If you go to Healdsburg, remember to visit.
Yeah, Healdsburg Bakery. Yeah. It's right next to the Flying Goat.
What's the name of that bakery? I don't remember it. I know it's something easy.
Right. It just predates all of the, you know, kind of cutesy, kitschy names of the places that are in the plaza now.
Yeah.
Highly recommend.
I was just up there. I went to Single Thread, the new that restaurant that's in the downtown.
I don't know any of those restaurants anymore.
Yeah, it's a new fancy restaurant down there.
The only one that that's still there that I remember is Oakville Grocery.
Okay, yeah.
But that was a transplant from Napa.
Mm-hmm.
But that place is, woo, fire sandwiches.
Yeah.
What?
Fire everything. Yeah. It's not like a sit down.
No, it's more like a grocer, like get a sandwich.
It's like a fancy, like, yeah. But
you can also get like a Bloody Mary there too.
You can get a Bloody, it's.
Fire like spicy or
something? No, like fire is in like.
Oh, they're using fire.
In the proverbial sense, like good.
Oh, okay.
Like very good.
Gotcha.
Like that mixtape is fire.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
I've but never also, used this expression before, but I like it. I'm not hip. I'm not up with like.
No, you're hip. You know about wine.
You know about wine.
No, I've never. I like that though.
Also don't think that people up there probably would describe Oakville Grocery as fire. Like, I don't think people walk out and they're like, "Oh, that was really fire.
That was fire.
That was fire. Let's go to Sausalito now. I heard Sausalito's fire too.
Ooh, let's go to the Spinnaker in Sausalito.
You know Spinnaker.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my brother got married.
That's a deep cut. Spinnaker has the best jumbo shrimp on Earth. Planet Earth.
I don't know. I will rival that.
What?
I'm putting.
Sean is raising a finger.
A challenge has been made.
Oh, shit.
I do think the jumbo shrimp.
You guys do have to Uber eat some shrimp
at
now.
L&E here in Silver Lake is pretty darn delicious.
I'll try it, man.
Yeah, you should try it.
But I think.
They're delicious.
Number one is Spinnaker.
Yeah.
And then number two is Spangers. Spangers.
Where's that?
Is in like Berkeley. Like Berkeley, Richmond area. It's like right next to that like racetrack, Bay Meadows.
Oh, whoa.
It's where all like the fancy like horse race owners.
Right off the 580.
Yeah. It's, I'm telling you. But I'll try this new one.
Yeah. It's
Or new one, whatever.
It's convenient. It's local. I don't know where you live
in
LA.
What's it called?
L&E. It's an oyster bar.
Okay.
All I know about them is they have this amazing pimento cheese that they serve with these saltines that they like baked with some kind of like spice mixture on mm-hmm. them, and that's just like insane.
Proprietary spice mixture.
I don't eat meat, so I haven't tried the shrimp, but I can speak for the cheese.
Okay.
But yeah. So you another thing you mentioned in your whiny wine. Mm-hmm. If we want to return to that.
Oh, yeah.
You sighed. I'm like, no, we don't have to. We can talk about food all night.
No. I got distracted by the wine.
No, this is on the wine situation, we basically just kind of like follow our bliss. So
mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what we do. No, I was curious. You one of the things you mentioned when you were like, when it came to manners was hosting. Like, and I was curious if you meant like when you have people over for dinner or like what you were speaking about.
Yeah,
exactly. Because I'm probably a terrible host, but
I imagine that you probably are a good host.
I don't have
maybe
furniture.
I'm projecting that on you.
I'm like the person who has people. I'm good at cooking for people, but I'm bad at like all the details that my mom's really good at, like having proper places for everyone to sit. And
sure, sure.
Yeah.
I think so. As far as hosting or having people come over to a place, to me, I was raised in a culture where, you know, if you have someone over, like you make sure not only if they're comfortable, but you offer them like something to drink, mm-hmm. like immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Like not an alcoholic drink, but whatever they
right.
want.
Yeah.
If they want an alcoholic
drink. Iced tea, lemonade, LaCroix. I'm just spitballing.
Or a beer.
Or a beer, yeah.
Or wine.
Have a beer, have a wine.
Yeah, but I'm.
Or a cocktail. I've got a lot of whiskey.
Exactly. But the older I get, the more I realize, like sometimes I'll go to someone's house and they'll like fix themselves a water or a drink and not even offer.
Yeah, that's not good.
Anything.
That's
and
not good.
Yeah, it's just, but I think it's maybe it's a generational thing. Maybe it is
maybe.
an American thing where it's sort of, yeah, or yeah. regional, but that's something that kind of irks me a little bit because, yeah, it just, I feel
if you're
like
you're
going
to have someone
it,
in
I
your home,
rude.
You should right. make them at home, which at least if you're me, always like includes having, I'm always parched. I don't know. I'm like, I always need some water. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Or even if I'm throwing a party, and again, I understand like the idea of potlucks and I think in American culture, and maybe this comes from Europe, that, you know, you shouldn't show up to a party empty handed. I don't necessarily believe in that. If I was throwing a party, right, I would gladly offer for, if someone wants to bring something, that's great. But I wouldn't necessarily ask or say like, oh, well, please bring something, because to me, you're in my place, or if I'm inviting you to a thing, I want to make sure that you don't feel like you have to bring anything.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. I'm also on board with the, if I'm, because my friend and I, we'd plan these pie parties, and like someone else would be like, well, should I bring pie too? And I'm like, no, we are curating the evening's program of pie.
Sure,
like,
sure.
Like
bring anything but pie.
Yeah, yeah. But well, pie? Yeah, that pretty...
Oh. Sorry. No.
I mean...
anything but...
anything but pie.
Yeah. So I know that feeling, like, and that I'm like, I maybe it's the control freak in me too, that I'm like, yeah, no, sure. I want to serve you what's the program of the,
appreciate that. I so appreciate just going to a place where it's like, okay, you invited me to this thing.
Amazing.
And, you know, I don't feel pressure to bring something that, you know, people don't like, you know, and you're, you know what I mean?
Like, well, it's like people have these parties now and they're like, and you have to bring a, especially around the holidays, they're like, you have to wear an ugly sweater and bring a casserole and like a white Santa gift. And I'm like, well, no, this shouldn't be all this. You should just have a party. Yeah, we should all get together.
Yeah. It's about the company.
Yeah.
I had a friend had a dinner party. Well, not a friend, an acquaintance. And then they were like, oh, and then after like 2 days later, they're like, oh, that was like $25 a person. So could you just, like, you know, like Venmo me?
What?
And I was like, you're retroactively charging me for something that you invited me over.
I've heard of people doing that for like their weddings before. And I'm like, that's not reasonable.
Charge people to go to their wedding?
Or basically like say like you should give us money for having come to our, yeah, I guess basically charge people. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I get it. It's expensive to
then don't have that party. Fancy a wedding.
Yeah, or do a potluck, or like even agree on it beforehand, but after the fact, it just felt very, very weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
And very like rude.
Yeah, I would have the same reaction. And I think, you know, I'm not close to getting married or anything like that, but I know that in like wedding etiquette, it's okay to, you know, in a groom party or in a bridal party or whatever, to sort of like pass the buying or renting of the tuxedo or the dresses or something like that. If I were ever in that position, right, like to me, if you're paying however thousands of dollars to have a wedding, to me, I'd be like, you know what? Like, if I have five groomsmen and they have to rent tuxedos, let's cover it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like,
wow.
If they have to fly somewhere, especially like if they're flying to San Francisco or flying to LA, but that's just me. Like, I don't.
That's so good, though, because I hear friends, I've had friends complaining about like, oh, my friend's getting married and she expects that I need to go on this Vegas trip for the bridal, the bachelorette weekend.
Exhausting.
And I'm like, that's how are you supposed to afford that and the bridesmaid's dress and a gift for the wedding? And like,
yeah.
That's nuts.
It's exhausting, and you know, like I get it. You know, there are certain things where like, oh well, you can't pay for everything. But I think in relation to all of the other things that you're paying for, if you're dropping however many thousands of dollars, I think like just paying for the tuxedos or the paying for the dresses is right. Like a fraction of what you would actually be paying for in total, the flowers and
that's
all
extremely considerate of you. I've been a bridesmaid a few times and never had anyone offer to pay for the dress.
Well, they usually don't, and I'm not trying to throw shade at any wedding that I've attended, because I attended probably the best wedding where I was a groomsman, and I did pay for the tuxedo, like the rental of the tuxedo, but it was such a classy wedding and I was so taken care of the entire weekend. Mm, yeah. And they gave me actually like an apartment in Washington, D.C. to stay in. There was like free food at like every stop of the weekend.
Yeah.
I got like a pair of like Ray-Bans as a gift.
Oh, damn. Wow.
That I still wear. So like to me that all made up for it.
Yeah.
And it was like just.
That
it
seems
was,
reasonable.
Oh, it was such a classy wedding.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good wedding.
Yeah, it was in like downtown Washington, D.C. It was just, I don't know. I know you can't see me, but I'm like giving like the
it's
A-OK.
A-OK emojis with
the
my hands.
Fire emoji.
Fire emojis.
The wedding was fire.
It was so fire.
It was so fire.
Yeah.
love it.
A nice wedding, though. There's nothing better. Speaking of sparkling wine, though. But there really is something better than a nice wedding, if whoever can afford to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very amazingly generous, awesome, great party. There really is kind of nothing like it.
The best weddings I've been to, one was like the fanciest and one was like the least fancy. And they both like rivaled each other for being the best ones, largely because just everybody was really happy to be there and happy for the people. And like it was... The fancy one was the right amount of, like, everyone is taken care of and the food is amazing and plentiful. And then the other one was, like, the most chill, down-to-earth, like, they didn't quite have bridesmaids. My friend's just like, I just want you to read this passage from a book for me. And they, like, ordered pizza from the most amazing pizza place in St. Louis and, like, had decent wine and, like... But everyone, it was like the most relaxed wedding ever. But like those two weddings, like one was the fanciest thing you could imagine. The other was like pizza, but they were both just like more about just the happiness of
the people.
Yeah.
And people being happy to be there. For sure.
But I can be happy in a really fancy place.
We can be happy in a fancy place. That's true.
With the right people.
Some good food, some good drinks. Do we want to play What's in the Glass with this wine? Because I'm very excited with the champagne.
Yeah, we can do a little What's in the Glass.
Do you want to play What's in the Glass?
What's how do you play What's in the Glass?
We just basically like analyze our
wine. Just talk about what's in the glass.
What's so in the glass?
What's in the glass? Hey, what?
What's in the glass?
It's tell wine. Me
what's in the glass?
It's wine.
All right. Turned into an 80s rap song.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Throwback.
Oh, God. No, that would be funny if I'm like, my roots of knowings are from musical improv class. So I'm like, it would be great if we just started suddenly like doing a chorus and.
Oh, man.
You guys can do that because I don't do that.
I feel no pressure. That would be rude of us.
That would be rude of us. We're just like here trilling up a song.
That would be fine. We were going off on Hillsburg, so it would be only right.
So usually we start and we look and I'm like, that's
check
a,
it out.
That's kind of a...
What color is it?
It's like a biscuit yellow.
Wow. Biscuit yellow.
I don't know.
Biscuit yellow.
I just... It's probably just that it smells yeasty, so I'm thinking of biscuits.
And also we're going on...
Also,
like,
I'm craving biscuits, but...
I'm getting like a light gold.
It's very golden. It's quite spritzy. These glasses are the worst, as I always say, to analyze the appearance of wine. But then you can stick our noses in. Smell the brioche.
Ooh, smell the brioche. The delicate French bread. The delicate bread. Not French. English.
Yeah, I think to me, I'm getting a vibe of it's like a wedding ring gold.
It's totally.
Yeah.
Speaking of weddings.
Wedding ring gold. Delicate gold.
It's delicate. It's elegant.
Elegant, delicate. Elegant, delicate.
Like
gold.
Pink gold almost or something. Well, not in that color, just in
right,
spirit.
Like sort of like a clearish like a silvery gold. And I know that sounds
No, it makes sense though.
Yeah. I like that.
It sounds like an oxymoron, but I feel like it's silvery gold.
I think that makes sense.
There's evidence of gas.
Yes, there's quite a bit of gas in that. There's a wee bit of carbon dioxide in the sparkling wine.
This is a sparkler.
As is proper.
There's bubbles erupting.
The Germans call it, they would call it wine with gas.
Wine with gas?
Wine with gas.
Because, well, have you guys been to Germany?
I have not.
Well, only for a couple days when I was really little.
Well, they call sparkling water with gas. But I guess they call that.
You speak German.
In other places.
Don't you?
I don't.
I remember this something from the episode.
My brother married a German woman and lives in Berlin.
So
my little niece speaks German.
Oh. Yeah.
But when I was there, it was sort of, would you like flat water? Would you like water with gas?
Water with gas. Is that like the exact translation from German? Like if one of those things where it's, if you translate it word for word, it sounds silly in the other language? Like,
I mean, German, everything is literal and concrete in their language. It's verbatim, whatever it is. I think their word for umbrella is, you know, a cover for the water droplets or something like that, the way it translates. It's not like umbrella. It's just sort of like the thing that covers you when it rains.
I'd love to hear the Rihanna translation.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it has the music. Schlagen.
Okay.
Again, I feel like I can make fun of Germans because
they're part of your family. Make fun of them, sure.
For sure. Shout out to my German niece.
May you be
German.
You guys, just a quick shout out to
Samira. Shout out
to my German niece.
Yeah, Listen to your dad. Go to bed on time.
Yeah.
Love you.
That's good uncle-y, good uncle advice.
She never wants to go to bed whenever I Skype with them, and it's like morning my time, and it's like night. She's always like, I don't want to go to bed. It's like, you have to, it's bedtime. She's like, no. And it's like this whole thing. It lasts an hour.
I want to be like, I want to be privy to these Skype.
Yeah, it's adorable, but also I'm like, yeah, listen to your dad. Yeah. Go to bed.
I'm the cool uncle. I can't enforce this.
I can't. Yeah. I love you, but I'll see you when I'm in Berlin. Shout out.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely getting brioche. Are you getting any fruit on the nose?
Yeah.
I mean, like apple.
It's like almost something a little floral to me.
Floral?
A little bit. Like, I don't know. Or go something that makes me think of plants that's not.
I mean, you say apple, and now I'm like, I'm getting this like green apple thing.
Like a light sage. Yeah. But I also get like green apple. I also get like a mealy apple on the nose.
Mm.
Maybe that could be the yeast, though, too.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like mealy apple.
A mealy?
Mealy.
Like,
Thinking of like a bruised apple?
Like a bruised apple, but also like a little bit not quite bruised, because I don't really feel bruised, but I just feel like it's a little more like not crisp and tart. It's a little more.
That's interesting, because I'm.
It's pretty crisp on the tongue, though. I mean, part of that's the carbonation. Although this is only a brut, so there's, as opposed to extra brut or.
You brut.
Yeah. Well, this is cuvée brut.
You brut.
Oh my god.
Stop it, wine. You're being so mean to me.
That was Sean reacting to me picking up the bottle and violently waving it.
Mm-hmm. That's the funny thing. Just to drink that champagne and after a drink, just be like, ah, you brute.
I feel like I need to start a YouTube channel of just like stupid wine, like making fun of the language of it. This is the
Merlot? More like Merhigh. They could just be all stupid, like stupid puns.
Yeah.
That's just Nick.
I live for stupid puns.
Mer medium.
This is not a lot of mer. This is mer medium.
Mm.
I was curious, and when you gave me your like
Chardonnay,
list of,
more like Chardonnay.
Not.
Well, I was going to be like Chardonnay.
Yeah. Chardonnay.
I was going to say Chardonnay, you may not.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
All right. That works too.
Yeah,
I was thinking more like yays and nays, but
yeah,
no,
yours is a lot more. This is why you're really good at the musical improv, because I turn things into way too long, complicated.
No, you got it. It's just a
Are you sure you're not German?
German? There's some in my family history, but we're mostly British.
Mm. British.
Yeah, no, I was curious. We always ask our guests, is there a wine that you... Yeah, how are we? Okay. We ask, is there a wine you don't like? And you gave me a list that was interesting to me, and I was like, oh, beware. We may have to, like, bring things to change you.
Oh.
With your... Because you said you don't like Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Syrah, and something else, Pinot Grigio.
Wow, really? Why?
I don't like to drink them by themselves independently. I just find them too dry. I don't like dry red wines.
Yeah.
And so Cabs, Syrahs tend to just, to me...
They go with food.
Yeah, 100%. So I think like, as far as in this setting, that's why like I...
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
That makes
sense.
I was just like, that's interesting. I was like, you straight up don't like that. That makes sense.
Yeah, but I would 100% drink a cab if it was paired with some sort of steak or, you know, like red meat or something. Yeah. You know, something
like have to have one now at this point.
Yeah.
Like if I'm having a steak, I'm like, I have to get a glass of Cabernet.
Yeah, yeah. But I just, you know, I think it's a very sort of go-to wine for people to sip, and I don't think it's meant to be sipped.
Yeah.
Or at least, like,
probably not.
I mean, not meant, like, whatever. Like, if you like it. But to me, like, my preference, if I'm going to sip wine in a setting like this, I'd rather sip, if it's red, a Pinot Noir, a Zinfandel, and then I would probably go, like a Malbec. I like a Malbec.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We had a Merlot on the show once that seemed okay by itself, but it could have used some food.
Yeah, some blends. Yeah,
it was a right bank Bordeaux, so it was like not what people think of when they think of like. I feel like you probably grew up drinking a lot of California.
I did. Yeah. You're right. Yeah,
like, I feel like I could show you some European versions that maybe, but I think you're correct, and I'm bad about this because a lot of times I'll just taste things by themselves, and then it's too late by the time I realize I should have eaten some cheese.
Yeah, and Bordeaux, like here, you know, by the time they make it here, I think get a little dry. But when I first started to drink wine legally, was when I was in France. I know that sounds really douchey, but I was with family.
No, yeah. I think that sounds beautiful because I'm a Francophile when it comes to wine.
Okay,
so
okay.
I'm a self-described wine snob, and I will eat up anybody else being one with me. So.
Okay.
Yeah, all the French Bordeaux are like super juicy and
they are
drinking, and they're over there for sure.
Yeah, so I was I dug that, and I would totally sip that. So that's why I didn't put that.
But I don't blame you. I mean, that was very wise, like, precautions.
Yeah.
Once in a while,
thought out.
Pinot Grigio, if I were coming on a wine podcast, unless it were like some, occasionally you can find something from like Alto Adige that's amazing and delicious. But Pinot Grigio, for the most part, especially from America, is just kind of like alcoholic water with lemon.
Sure.
So I don't blame you for naming that either.
Yeah, they're, I mean, you'll see them in like restaurants and stuff like that when they're like super high end from wherever. But yeah, so I put it on the list.
No, I appreciate it. I'm like, you know your wine shit. Like, you know that these wines go with food. Like, I'm like, clearly you were
NorCal.
Raised in Hillsborough.
No. NorCal wine region.
It's,
You know your wine manners.
I do. And I really appreciate you guys actually asking me before I came on because, I mean, obviously this is a wine podcast and you guys know about this kind of stuff. But I think sometimes people just, they'll have like a variety of wine. Here's another manners thing. And they won't even ask you, like, what kind of wine you want. You know, they'll be like, they'll just open something. They'll be like, you want a red or a white? And I'm like, well, what red do you have?
Yeah.
You know, like, are we, we're sipping this? We're going to have food? Like, what's happening? Can I get a little bit more detail here?
Yeah.
But that's, maybe that's not a lack of manners, more like a lack of.
I think it's a lack of knowledge of wine, probably.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, granted, I'm like, to me, wine's the, besides comedy, I'm like, wine's the most important thing on earth, which I try and be like, okay, it's not for everybody. But yeah, it's like, it's nice if people are just like, we have wine and red. And I'm like, well, yeah, especially at bars, you're like, what do you have? What wine do you have? We have a couple of reds and a couple of whites. I'm like,
yeah, they don't want to have that conversation with you at a bar.
No, I should just order whiskey then. And I don't. I'm an asshole who's like, but what are they?
Right. No, it's an ancient drink. You should be able to ask them at an alcoholic establishment. You'd be like, no. You serve drinks.
Yeah, tell me what it is.
Yeah.
Unless you're at Covell, in which we do nothing but talk about wine.
Yeah.
And like last night, like four different people were like, whatever you're into. And I'm like, whatever I'm into? I'm like, do you want white or red? They're like, I don't care. I'm like, how do you have no opinion about what you're about to drink?
I sometimes
and I'm like,
ask
are you going to eat food?
What are you excited about?
Is this
about?
Your first drink? Yeah, but it, I mean that like.
Wait, where's this?
Covell, Bar Covell.
Okay.
Yeah, I work there.
Where's that?
It's on Hollywood Boulevard across from Goodwill. Like right at the junction there, kind of.
So by Sassafras?
I'm going to let you guys have this conversation and just let our next person in so she's not out in the cold.
That's a good idea.
I will be right back.
Not that we would ever do two podcasts back to back.
No. Ha. Never.
You got to take advantage of that.
No, it's more like in Silver Lake.
Shout out to Zig.
Zig's here, guys. Zig's being extra quiet today.
It's all good. Shout out. Anyway.
Yeah, no, it's more like Silver Lake-y kind of thing.
Okay.
Like, let's see, what's, you know where the Silver Lake Conservatory of Music is?
Yes.
The new one that's on Hollywood there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like right next to that.
Okay.
With the Go Get 'em Tiger or the McConnells or Kismet.
Yeah.
Right there.
Okay. Yeah. Oof, McConnells.
Good.
Talk about fire ice cream. Damn.
Those two things are juxtaposed.
Wait, so Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
You went, so did you move like right away?
Yeah. I only lived in Santa Rosa for like 6 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
I took my SAT at Santa Rosa High School.
Did you?
Yeah.
I took mine at Montgomery.
Oh, Montgomery. when we lived at the same time, like it was 90s.
Yeah.
Montgomery was like the fancy school.
Yeah.
It was like the rich kids.
Uh-huh.
Or at least with the public school. Like, if they were rich kids, if they were really sort of fancy, they'd go to Cardinal Newman. Which doesn't exist anymore.
What? Really?
Yeah. You know the...
Cardinal Newman and...
Ursuline.
Ursuline, yeah.
I feel like one of those schools doesn't exist anymore.
Wow.
That's real. Because that was like the fancy shit.
Yeah, that was super fancy.
Yeah.
No, I just went to like a giant public high school. Santa Rosa High was like, really, like 3,000 kids there.
It's a beautiful building.
It was beautiful. Yeah, I loved it. I had a great time. But it was massive.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to Hillsburg High?
I went to Hillsburg High and then I transferred to Windsor High School. Because
Windsor Waterworks, you're going to get wet.
Gonna get wet. Oh my God. Bombardier. Okay, so Bombardier did this sketch. UCB. I know this is a deep cut. UCB. They did a sketch that sang the Windsor Waterworks song.
What?
Windsor Waterworks, you're gonna get wet.
Uh-huh.
And I lost my shit.
Yeah.
Because it's such a... Windsor Waterworks is a water park.
Okay.
Like a local water park in Sonoma County.
I mean, it had four water slides.
It had four water slides.
I mean, I grew up with Wet Willies. We only had three. So.
Okay. Wet Willies? Oh my gosh. That sounds like you would
St.
catch...
Louis.
Staph infection. There. Mm-hmm.
It does sound like that.
It's a lot of skin irritants.
Yeah. But Windsor Waterworks had this commercial that had this song. It was like, Windsor Waterworks, you're gonna get wet. Gonna get wet. Gonna get wet. Windsor Waterworks, you're gonna get wet. And it was, I don't know, it was kind of a catchy song.
It was totally, I mean, obviously it stuck with
people
us.
People remember.
Yeah, but they shut it down.
Mm.
It doesn't exist
anymore.
R.I.P. Windsor Waterworks. R.I.P. I.O. and
R.I.P. Cardinal Newman.
R.I.P.
Cardinal Newman. And or Ursuline. I don't know. We have to like look that up.
R.I.P. Wet Willies. Oh, yeah. We should probably get on to our last little thing. It's time for the lightning round. It's a very slow lightning round.
Cool, cool. All right.
Here we go.
I mean, this is just fun facts about British people drinking.
Oh, this is fun.
Have you heard about do you know what the Queen's drinking regimen is?
Oh, the current Queen? Queen Elizabeth II?
Yes.
I imagine she probably has like a half shot of scotch at the end of the night.
Woman drinks four drinks a day.
Stop.
Every day. Drinks. No, let me walk you through.
The Queen?
The Queen.
The Queen.
Queen.
Before lunch, she has a Dubonnet and gin, Dubonnet being a sweet vermouth, with a lemon slice on ice. At lunch, she has a dry gin martini, and then after lunch has a piece of chocolate and a glass of wine, and she has a glass of champagne before bed. She also has a chocolate cake that she takes with her everywhere it's like this chocolate biscuit cake that she has a slice of every single day, and the cook will be like it's stale, and she's like, no, I will eat a slice of it every day till this cake is gone. But the Queen drinks like fucking a lot of drinks every day.
What? She's so tiny.
Yeah, and she's 93, right? 94.
She's British. It's cold there. They just drink all day growing up.
That's true.
I mean, she's really lived a long time, so
she can do whatever
she wants.
Yeah. I mean, I hope when I'm that age I'm having cake and gin martinis. Yeah.
She's also the Queen of England.
Yeah.
Oh, that too.
She's also had someone prepare her every meal, and she's never really had to.
So anyway, that was my first.
She's never been like
question.
Opened the cupboard and been like, "Fuck, I don't have any food.
Right.
I don't have any money to go buy any food. Shit, this sucks being the Queen, man."
Man,
that's true.
So, no, that's not what it's like.
Yeah.
I didn't manage to find out what champagne she drank.
What is it?
Krug.
I didn't find that fact.
Oh, you didn't find it?
No. So.
Right
in, guys. Let us know.
La tears of the poor.
Yo.
La tears of the poor.
Fermented tears of poor people. I have more of a basic question.
Yeah.
How many miles north of Champagne is Sussex, where this wine is grown? Or kilometers, if you want to.
Kilometers.
How many kilometers north?
Okay, so I know where Sussex is.
Okay.
Not sure where Champagne lands on the map of France. I'm guessing, because of what you guys have described the weather to be like, I would imagine it to be like in the northern part, like near like Normandy-ish. So I would say 650 kilometers.
Oh, less.
Less.
It's shockingly close.
What?
129 kilometers.
Whoa.
80 miles north from Champagne is Sussex. That's not that far, right?
No.
It's really close.
It's not that far at all.
It's just, a little over, but.
Yeah.
It's like on, Champagne's on the 49, longitude line, and the Sussex is on 51.
Whoa.
So.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Not far.
Bang.
Bang.
Bang. Next question.
Okay.
What's the most grown variety in England?
In England?
Yeah.
Of wine?
Mm. Yeah. Don't worry if you... It's obscure.
I don't imagine they grow a lot of wine grapes, right?
That is... of the wine grapes, of the varieties of grapes they grow, that is the most... I meant the most grown, wine grape. Yeah. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
whatever we're drinking.
Shockingly, no. It's really? Bacchus is the name of it.
Oh, Bacchus is really the number one?
Hmm. Yeah, most named grown. The, I've had the only other British Greek wine god. I've ever had.
Is that
was
named
a
after
Bacchus.
Like a Greek god?
It is, yeah.
The Greek god of wine, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a Bacchus before. That's the only other British, because there was like three bottles of this in L.A., so I was like checking all the stores, and I was like, no uh-huh. British bubbly.
This is a treat, Ellen, I must say.
I'm happy I found it. And you know, is the Tête de Cuvée, which means like their top blend, like that signature of their house blend.
Mm-hmm.
Price-wise, compared to like a Tête de Cuvée from a champagne house, it was not...
Pennies.
Not going to make you poor. It's okay. Like about a $40 bottle of wine, which is good for sparkling wine that's like exceptional quality. I was like, sold, take it.
And you'll see the picture, guys. It's beautiful.
It is a beautiful bottle.
It's very elegant, for sure.
Very elegant.
Yeah. But yeah, Bacchus is the... And I had a Bacchus once. That was the only other British wine I have ever tasted, and I thought it was fantastic. Maybe it's the Brit in me. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit citrus, kind of like a little saline in a way I really enjoyed, but I love the fuck out of salt, so maybe...
Love the salt.
Love the salt. It was really good, so got to taste these Bacchus.
Okay.
It's a Bacchus.
Get some Bacchus.
I have one quick question. It's a fill in the blank.
Okay.
Sussex has many blank facing slopes, which are good for growing wine. Which way did the slopes face?
Directionally.
Directionally. Ooh. North, south, east, or west? Which direction do the slopes face in Sussex?
Slopes. So they're slopes.
The hills, yeah. The rolling hills of Sussex.
Vines tend to be grown on slopes, which is like very good for drainage and very good for facing the sun. This is a hint.
Okay, the sun, right, sets in the west, rises in the east. So is it better to have it facing...
Think more about the equatorial.
Yeah. In the northern hemisphere.
Oh.
In the southern hemisphere, it's different.
Okay. All right. So the angle.
Yeah, towards the sun in terms of the equator. Facing.
There's a lot of creative hand gestures.
Yeah, happening. I'm like trying to like picture.
If you're feeling cold, do you want to turn to face the North Pole or do you want to turn and face the equator?
South.
Yes.
Correct.
You got it.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, no, south-facing slopes tends to, in the northern hemisphere, a lot of the great places they grow grapes, like half of the hill will be blank and then the other half is full of grapes because they need that like extra warmth.
Extra warmth.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Hmm. Even though it is cold, they do need that.
They do need that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Brr.
Interesting. Cool. I'm glad I got that question right.
And then we just have one quick last question, and that's just what's bringing you some joy right now?
Ooh, what's bringing me joy right now?
Yeah, what's making me happy?
Happiness.
I think it is telling stories.
Yeah.
I've been able to tell stories, but also see the actualizing of stories that I've told. I work for Drunk History.
Oh, yeah.
And so I worked for the season that is currently airing now, and I'm working on this next season. But I got to see the work that we did, you know, about a year and a half ago, and it's finally airing.
Oh, my God. That's
and
so great.
There was an episode that we did on civil rights. And it brought me a ton of joy to see stories like the Birmingham Children's March and the 504 sit-ins in San Francisco told in a Drunk History story, but in like a really poignant but like funny way. So that gave me like a lot of joy to be like, oh yeah, like we worked really hard on like researching and developing these stories that
you were
really
like a history teacher too, right? So
yeah.
You have a good background for that. But
yeah. And the Birmingham Children's March was a lesson that I taught for seventh grade, U.S. history and government. That is now a Drunk History.
That's
story.
So amazing.
What?
Yeah.
One for the children, one for the adults.
Yeah. And so that gave me that brought me like an incredible amount
That's
of joy.
So cool.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, cheers thank you. Yeah,
stories.
Cheers for telling stories.
Thank
Thanks
you.
So much for being here.
Cheers. Yeah, thank you for having
cheers.
Me.
Cheers. We're almost
thank you.
Have a little
you guys were slap. Great hosts, good at etiquette.
Oh,
good manners.
I was nervous.
Yeah.
Hope it's okay.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, dudes.
Yeah, Zora, man. Thank you.
Zora's amazing. He is. He his musical improv is just like, rah.
Yeah. Next time we're just going to have him come on and do musical improv the whole time.
I mean, that would be fun.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, UCB.
Thanks, Dr. America Comedy, for the song.
And thanks, Thomas Strachey, for the graphic.
and wine people, Covell. Can you, there's background noise.
Yeah.
You guys, this is live.
On the spot recording. So that's what you get.
And yet another podcaster's house. We're never at UCB anymore.
Podcast and a podcast and a podcast.
Yep. So what's it called? That movie that people reference when it's like a thing inside a thing inside a thing.
Memento?
No, in something beginning with I-N.
Interstellar.
No! We're still stoned, same as last week, guys.
Just so you know.
Actually, I think I'm just high on, like, giggling now. Like, high on my own oxygen.
High on giggles?
High on giggles. Yeah, so we'll be back next week with Christy Norman. Oh, my God.
Christy Norman, guys. Great.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So we'll see you then.
See you then. Wait.
Like, rate us.
Rate us, like us, share it, subscribe. You know all the stuff.
All that stuff.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
I just drink wine. I don't fuck with IPA. I just drink wine. I don't fuck with Minute Maid. I just drink wine. I don't fuck with Coffee Mate. I just drink wine. Give me red, white, or rosé. Don't touch me, motherfucker. I'm a sommelier.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.